Lesson 9. Text. 40 Years On by Nora Lofts. John Bullier and I met for the first time in 1956, when we were both in our early 60s. But it is true to say that he did more to shape my life than any other person. John Bullier came into my life through my Aunt Carrie. She was also aunt to John Bullier, whom she referred to as Little John, my other nephew, all in one word. And she referred to him too often. From Aunt Carrie's point of view, it was fortunate. From mine, disastrous. That John Bullier and I were the same age. Probably hundreds of comparisons were made before I became aware of them. The first that I remember was made soon after I began school, where I had lain on the floor and wailed that I wanted to go home. Shortly after that, my mother reported that Little John, Aunt Carrie's other nephew, had started school on the same day and taken to it like a duck to water. And so it went on. Incredible boy. He knew his 9 times table. While I was still hopelessly bogged down in the 4s. I began to dread Aunt Carrie's formerly most welcome visits. She was certain to produce chocolate or sixpence from her purse. But as soon as she had gone, Mother was sure to say the dread words. Aunt Carrie was telling me that John Bullier... The comparisons were, without exception, to my disadvantage. The wretched boy never set foot upon a football field without scoring a goal. I became conscious of my inferiority, for I was hopeless at games. To me, it seemed sinister that Mother always passed on any small achievement of mine. Once, at my prep school, I had a story in the magazine, and Mother was beside herself. "I must have another copy of that," she said, "so that Aunt Carrie can send it to John Bullier's mother." What a boomerang that proved. By return of post came the news that John had won a scholarship. It will seem strange that we boys never met. But in those days, Gloucester was as far removed in travelling time from Suffolk as New York is today. Aunt Carrie kept saying, "Really, you boys should know one another. I'm sure you'd be such friends." And once or twice, she tried to arrange that John should stay with her in the holidays. Mercifully for me, something always prevented him from doing so. I did have, however, one horribly narrow escape. An elderly couple, distant relatives of my father's, were celebrating their golden wedding. They lived in London, and they issued such a sentimentally worded invitation that Father was bound to accept. As soon as he had done so, Aunt Carrie came over in a state of excitement. Wasn't the world a small place? The Bullier family and Father's relatives had once been near neighbours. And all three Bulliers had been invited to the feast. When Aunt Carrie had gone, Mother said to me, "You sit there huddled over a book until your back is bent like a bow. Go out and get some air. You look so much better with a little tan." I realized that she and I visualized John Bullier in the same way. Tall and straight, big for his age, with a handsome brown face. I stood up obediently. Walking made no noticeable difference to my back, and the sun remained hidden. So Mother tried another tack. "You'll need a new suit at Easter anyway. You might as well have it now." On the evening before we were to make our early morning start for London, Mother came into my room and made me try on the new suit. I could see, by the expression on her face, that it worked no miracle. But Mother did not take defeat easily. Looks weren't everything. My manners, at least, should pass muster. So she gave me a few final instructions. I kept saying, "Yes, Mother," and "No, Mother," and "I'll remember, Mother." Finally, she said, "Well, hurry into bed and get a good night's sleep." I did not sleep well. I had the worst night I had ever known. My jaws ached. The pain spread up into my head, back into my ears, down into my throat. In addition to my physical woes, I had mental agonies. I prayed that something might occur to prevent this meeting. I saw the dawn that morning and heard the first bird chorus. After several centuries had dragged by, I heard the alarm go off in my parents' room, and thankfully rose from my bed. I washed more thoroughly than usual, then I dressed, and, in honour of the occasion, went to the looking-glass to arrange my tie. For a moment, I thought that nervousness had affected my eyesight. The face that looked back at me was only just recognizable. My ears were hidden by the bulge of my jaws, and I seemed to have no neck. Horrified, I reeled into my parents' room. "Do you think I look funny this morning?" They both turned. Mother screamed. Father said, "I wouldn't say funny. You looked damn peculiar." It was mumps. It left me open-minded about prayer. Time went on. So did the comparisons. By word of mouth during the holidays. By phrases and letters during term time. I was kept up to date with John's cleverness and progress. Thus goaded, I began at last to look round for something that I could do. Something at which I could excel. When I found it, I worked savagely, minding nothing else. Let this be mine. John Bullier could have all the rest. I was still a Grub Street hack, counting it a good week in which I made £5. When John attained some glittering appointment in India, that ability to master the 9x table had proved no momentary success. He had developed into some kind of financial wizard. There was a paragraph in the daily papers about this appointment. Aunt Carrie took the cutting to show my mother. That was her last report. She was dead before her other nephew reached his destination. 3 or 4 times during the next 40 years, I saw mention of John Bullier in the press. Those paragraphs recorded a steady success, which eventually led to a knighthood when he retired in 1956. On that occasion, there was half a newspaper column about him. When asked in an interview what he intended to do with his leisure, Sir John replied, "I hope to take up golf. I have never had time to take it seriously." I pictured him again, lean and tanned, with a head of well-kept grey hair. I was sorry that there was no photograph. I could have looked at it almost without fear, I thought. I was, by that time, not unsuccessful in my own line. Late that year, in November, I was in my club, sipping a glass of sherry before dinner. A cough at my elbow made me look round. I saw a short, stout man, glitteringly bald, with a little snub nose that looked too small to support the framework of his heavy glasses. Diffidently, he spoke my name, and I admitted my identity. Since I attained a little fame, I have on occasion been addressed by strangers, and no matter how flatteringly they speak, I am always horribly embarrassed. "My name's John Bullier," stammered the little man. "We once shared an aunt." I leapt up and shook hands, expressing my pleasure at meeting him at last. And then we settled down to drink sherry together. His stammer, like my shyness, soon wore off. "I used to hear so much about you," he said with a grin. "Then I learnt that you were a member here. And I could not resist asking someone to point you out to me. Though, if you'd looked the least bit as I always imagined, I don't think I'd have dared to approach you. You see, I grew up with the idea that you were at least 8 feet tall, tremendously handsome, and more talented than Da Vinci. His grin broadened, and I knew why. Really, he said, the letters Aunt Carrie used to write about you, and the way my mother used to read them out, you were the bugbear of my life. They were nothing, I said, to the letters your mother used to write about you. I was told every time you got a sum right. I always thought of you as 9 feet high. Better looking than Robert Taylor, and more versatile than Churchill. So they played the game both ways, did they? We laughed. We looked at one another. Then it probably dawned on us both that the place in which we sat is not the haunt of men who have been failures in life, and that, boys being what they are, an occasional prod in the rear is no such bad thing. Together we lifted our glasses, and though neither of us spoke, I know that we drank to the memory of Aunt Carrie.
在线英语听力士，感谢您的收听，请推荐给身边的好友。